I think, as many children do, I enjoyed pretending to die as a child, and pretending to be dead. So I would go out in the front yard and put my tricycle on top of myself and pretend that I'd been in a terrible accident until somebody driving by would stop and ask if I was okay.
Welcome to In Tune with Opera Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike Bolton. Festival 019 is fast approaching, which means there are only a few weeks until the premiere of Let Me Die, a unique musical collage from performance artist Joseph Koechler. It's opera deaths as you've never seen them before. All the drama and musical energy isolated from the rest of the story, one right after another, woven together with Koechler's own music and narrative. He came to this piece thinking, what if all the operas were gone and only the deaths remained? What would the effect be of performing death after death? And can you actually sustain a work that is constantly ending? He sat down for an interview with my colleague, Shannon Eblen, earlier this year. We've brought you some of that conversation today for a behind-the-scenes look at what inspired Let Me Die, Koechler's background as a performer, and even some hints as to what might be included in Let Me Die.
I guess that I sort of fell into performing. I mean, I had performed as a kid to some degree, but I wasn't really a theater person. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be all my idols were blues singers, so I sort of wanted to be a blues singer, and I was in the talent show of doing a sort of Cab Calloway impersonation act in elementary school. But and then had started taking some voice lessons as a teenager, but then went to art school to become a painter. At the same time, I studied voice under George Shirley at University of Michigan. But I was really, my head was really in art, in visual art. And then I started also doing sort of performance art under a woman named Holly Hughes while I was there. And then performance art, you know, and the version of that that I was involved in was very broad and could be anything. It could be more like theater, like writing a play or a monologue. It could be something gestural and ritualistic. It was just, you know, that became for me a container to combine whatever interests or impulses that I had. So it became more of like an occasion to invent myself in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And then I came to New York and, you know, would started performing in small opera houses and learning roles, and at the same time writing plays and experimental theater pieces somehow, and then also like performing in clubs and music, you know, like more like rock music venues or, you know, more like grungy type places. And you know, eventually this all just sort of synthesized into a singular practice. And you know,
where does your interest in opera stem from?
Strangely, I think it just stems from being interested in the voice and singing, and then kind of being pulled into a training that involved this whole other art form, and being attracted to the discipline of it, and also the sensuality of it, just the kind of otherworldly quality and everything, sort of the heightened nature of it. I mean, the first opera I was ever into was Dido and Aeneas, and I did like, as a kind of teen goth, I would sit up in my room listening to Dido and Aeneas, the Jesse Norman recording, over and over again. I'm attracted to the sort of sublime quality paired with a certain type of absurdity. So it's kind of like, you know, those, that mingling of elements of something that could tip into being kind of ridiculous, but could also be the most transcendent, transporting experience.
What was the first opera you saw live?
Gosh, I think it was Aida or maybe a Philip Glass opera, strangely, or a kind of like multimedia Philip Glass thing, because that's like probably, I think, yeah, those were the things coming through Kalamazoo, where I'm from.
What inspired Let Me Die?
I think the impulse for this was probably present for me at a young age when I think as many children do, I enjoyed pretending to die as a child. And pretending to be dead. So I would go out in the front yard and put my tricycle on top of myself and pretend that I'd been in a terrible accident until somebody driving by would stop and ask if I was okay. And then that was like the end of the thing.
How often did this happen?
I don't know how often it happened, but it was definitely formative. I can't say the frequency.
But someone always stopped to check on you?
I think they did, because that was like in my mind, I mean, I kind of had invented that as, you know, like in a sort of performance art way, that was the end of the performance. But otherwise the performance didn't have an end. So somebody had to stop and ask if I was okay. And then I would say yes. There was no drama after that.
what do you think they thought as they continued on their walk or drive?
I don't know. They probably just thought that kid's a piece of work. So, you know, I don't know. This project is sort of fueled by a similar impulse where that seemed fun to me, you know, the idea of dying and I thought about a few things. I thought about, well, in tragic operas, the death is the event that you anticipate for the whole opera, the event often that to which we're building, up to which we're building. So why not just take that event and let it occur right away, you know, and then do it again and again and again. And see, you know, as an experience, what kind of effect would that produce? If the death, which is sort of devastating or cathartic or, you know, whatever, if we just go there immediately, you know, does it take all the power away, or is it something we're sort of not prepared to confront? And on a formal level, you know, how can you sustain something that's constantly ending is another question. And I was just sort of thinking about different connections between death and opera, which people, you know, often comment on. And I noticed that people, you know, often talk about the art form of opera sort of in regard to death. People describe it, you know, Zizek, you know, will say, well, opera is carrying on in a zombie-like form, or, you know, people talk about, you know, the art form has been, you know, revivified or reborn, or, well, or it's not dead, or, you know, so people talk about the art form in terms of death often, and the art form is, you know, death is sort of at the center of the form. Also, when you start to study voice, one of the first songs that a lot of people are given, and I was given this song. It was the first thing, I guess not when I was a teenager, but when I started studying voice, I'm in college. It was the first aria I was given, Lasciatemi Morire. So, let me die. So I liked this idea too, that somehow if you're a student of opera, a student of voice, that you have to be sort of a student of dying. And so that's where I took the title of this from, is from that aria, Let Me Die, which is also the only existing part, the only extant part of the Monteverdi opera. So the rest of the opera has been lost, except for a kind of extended sequence, the center of which is that is that aria, you know, and the things like the lament of Ariana, but the character Ariadne, mm-hmm. who's stranded on the island of Naxos. Mm-hmm. And so I also liked that kind of conceptual rhyming, that she's you know, lost, bereft, stranded. And then the aria also is stranded. It's, you know, the only thing, it has survived its own context. So like, what if all the rest of the operas were lost, but all the deaths survived?
So. Why do you think it is opera is so fascinated with death? I mean, you know, we did Carmen last year. We're about to do La Boheme here. These are operas people love, and they're tragedies, and they end in a death. And, you know, people don't love them any less because they're sad.
The tragedy does seem to be at the center of the art form. I was going to say, you know, there are lots of delightful operas that don't really surround death, you know, but somehow as an art form, it does seem that tragedy is its strong suit. There are these ideas that going to the opera used to serve as a kind of rehearsal for death, as a way for the audience to rehearse for death. But that's just an idea that's sort of swimming around in my head, and that I'm trying to investigate through this process. I mean, there's also an idea that people, you know, that performing itself is always a kind of sacrificial act, that a performer is always kind of doing something on the behalf of everyone, mm-hmm. you know, and then dying on stage, I think, intensifies that sense. I'll say all this stuff in the performance too, but I'll write it. I'll write complete sentences and deliver them succinctly. But the other thing that I particularly find kind of interesting and thrilling and I guess poetic about opera deaths is that and paradoxical is it's, you know, the moment of the death often on stage in an opera is like the most virtuosic or the virtuosity is suddenly underlined in a different way too, because it's like the moment of representing the failure of a body, but the reality in that moment is it's requiring so much, you know, this great physical feat and vocal feat of the body. So I was also interested in that tension, that
It's an interesting contrast.
It's in that contrast, yeah.
Regardless of whether they're in Let Me Die, what are some of your favorite opera death scenes?
The ones that I'm attracted to aren't always the ones where people are just like collapsing or having like some like gasping one final time or something. I mean, I think I do tend to like these statements. My interest in this is somewhat conceptual, and I do tend to like statements that are about dying but aren't necessarily like big hammy convulsive deaths, like, you know, like that aria, like the lament of Ariana or Dido's lament, or you know, a lot of Baroque ones are more like sort of they have more of an aspect of exposition, you know. You're not necessarily dying, but more like the Purcell aria, the cold song, where the speaker is wishing, being revived from death, but wishes to be dead again. So I tend to be attracted to those, but also, you know, Boris Godunov, that death is amazing. And just like this sustained sequence, and then the choir coming in is just the most transcendent but also incredibly foreboding. I mean, a lot of A lot of them are just kind of funny too, you know?
Like what?
I mean, if you watch videos of Brunhilde's death, where it's like the end of this, you know, epic work, and she's, you know, self-immolating, but that's hard to stage, you know? So there are all these videos of her just kind of running, you know, toward a fire, but maybe sort of absentmindedly slash sort of like, catch me if you can, like, and then just sort of like, not even jumping, but sort of just like falling in a matter of fact way into this pit of flames, you know? After a kind of, you know, somewhat sublime sequence. So, but I like that too, you know, I like, but it calls attention to the fact that this is rather hard to stage. In this, I won't do all of them. I'll do some of these statement-like deaths, and I will do a collage of deaths, and maybe a couple collages. So, but I'm not necessarily honoring the original context of these. I'm delivering the last lines and then collapsing in whatever manner, or, you know, I might not jump from a parapet, I might jump from a chair. My approach to these are either sort of elegant and ritualistic or slapstick.
Without giving too much away, can you tell us any of the scenes that will be making an appearance in Let Me Die?
You know, well, there are a lot of old chestnuts, you know, there are a lot of favorites, a lot of greatest hits in there.
Any you can name yet?
Well, this all could change. This is all subject to change. Tosca's death might be done, but it might just be, you know, it might just last a few seconds. I don't know.
That's a good teaser.
Carmen may be in there. Butterfly may be in there. You know, Turandot might be in there, but it might just be a lion from that. Or sometimes we're taking lines that are surrounding the death, but it might be, you know, maybe we don't see Mimi die, but maybe we hear that plaintive Mimi, you know, when that other theme comes in. So
looking at other ways of representing the death.
Yeah, it's all kind of circling the death. Because also going through these scores, it was like, well, how, you don't want to be overly, you know, too much of a literalist. You know, did we have to see a person die? Or when Azucena is saying, ah, I threw my baby into a fire, you know, does that count as a death? I mean, I think it does. And you know, we're also combining things in creative ways. So, you know, maybe Electra's kind of in there, but maybe she's kind of joined with Zalame, and maybe Zalame is going to participate in Electra's dance instead of only her own. It's not all hits. It's like we're going into weird corners of the repertoire to pull out certain moments as well.
Was it your intent to appeal to a very broad opera audience? Because it really feels like, in a way, this has something for everyone.
I tend to, in most of what I do, and this is a departure for me, but in most of what I do, I tend to be a kind of like a diplomat between different areas of culture. I kind of move through these different spaces, and with my stuff especially, I think I am thinking about it, but I'm not thinking about it so. It's just a given for me that I'm trying to usually create something layered that can talk to different kinds of people. I'm not relying on a certain body of knowledge for the audience or a certain social context or artistic context.
See Let Me Die, a world premiere co-production of Opera Philadelphia and Fringe Arts, on stage September 21st through the 28th. Learn more at operaphila.org.